The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Bobby from Collingswood, New Jersey, and I listen to the Mickey Miles and More Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 436 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and it's time to do Christmas shopping, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo!
It's Thanksgiving is behind us, and it's that time of year again.
Did you do Black Friday, Mike?
I don't remember. Actually, wow. I might remember by the time I
he blacked out Friday.
I blacked out on Friday.
Blackout Friday.
And that was Michelle Scribner-McLean who joins us. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. So guess what? I have a shout out, or I have a few. I have a few, really. So. Megan Gorney, who is a Mickey Miler, she got two PRs last week, and we have some new Mickey Milers, so I want to welcome onto the Mickey Miles Miler team. Nicole Schuster, Beth Erdman, Robert Hallahan, who I think is from Massachusetts, Aaron Well, and Rebecca McDermott. Welcome to the Mickey Milers. If you want to join us, go to MickeyMilesPodcast.com and click on Join Us. We'd love to have you on the team. Is that Chris?
Speaking on the team, ooh, another team on the W.
Speaking of turkeys.
On the W. On the Mickey Miles and More Podcast.
Pain, tear.
Is Chris Eliopoulos. Good.
Hi, Mike.
Good day, Chris. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
I am so full. I'm still tired and full from the turkey last week, so wow. I can't even tell you. Sorry, Michelle.
Tell us. No, don't be sorry.
Did you have, so you enjoyed the bird carcass, huh?
That's what I
love
call
the carcass.
It.
Yes. I love
that's
it stuffed with
it
stuffing.
Still,
it's so
does
appetizing
not take
when
away
you call
from
it a carcass.
Yes, very much so. So you have a song for us? Like Turkey in the
do.
Star or what?
I do. It's something like that. It's called Titanium. It's by Sia. And I know the guy's name is like David Guida? Gaeta?
Yeah.
Something like that.
David.
Yeah, that's a great song. David. I like that.
Yeah. So that helps me run. So there's mine. What about your tip, Michael?
My tip is to, for those of you who go down to Disney Springs, number one, use the smart garage if you're going down to where the new Disney Springs area is. If you don't want to use the garage, then my tip is to park behind Cirque du Soleil because you can't, if you're going to Cirque du Soleil, you park right behind there if you're driving and you'll be fine. If not, take Disney transportation. At Disney Springs is really worth the trip. So that is my tip. And before we continue with this show, I want to mention three meets that we have scheduled for January, for race weekend. The first meet is on Thursday, January 5th at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll be holding a Mickey Miles and More Podcast post 5K breakfast meet at Sunshine Seasons in the Land Pavilion in Future World at Epcot. The next day, Friday, January 6th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we will be holding a Mickey Miles and More Podcast 10K Carb Load Meet at Disney's Boardwalk Bakery. Then the next day, on Saturday, January 7th at 2 p.m., we will be holding a half marathon celebration at the Wave Lounge at Disney's Contemporary Resort. We'll be holding it there for, obviously, hydration. And on Sunday night, January 8th, well, you may want to save the date. Details are to follow. And without further ado, let's get back to our questions with Jeff Galloway as we're coming down the home stretch. So here we go.
Right. Okay, the next question is from Jacqueline, and she says she would love to hear your thoughts on support activities for runners, such as yoga, strength training, plyometrics, and cross training.
The bottom line on it is that cross training in general is very beneficial for overall health, but it's very unlikely that it's going to really help your running. But the studies on exercise and longevity show that you're going to tend to extend your lifespan, double the amount of time that you have a cross training workout. For example, if you get on a bicycle or get in the pool and do some water running for an hour, you statistically will extend your lifespan by 2 hours. You double the amount of life extension because of the health benefits that cross training will give you. Now, running in the water in the deep end of the pool, wearing a flotation belt, is actually about the only exercise that I've seen over 40 years that has been documented to really help the running motion and running conditioning, mainly due to improving your running form. So that workout allows you to actually get smoother and to run more efficiently, and you're not pounding yourself. So that really does work. Now, some of the others that you mentioned, strength training, I am in favor of postural muscle strengthening. And on our website, you can see some information, and it's also listed in my books, on a strength exercise called arm running. In the upright position, standing position, with handheld weights, you move your arms in an extended range of motion that you might use when you're running, so that you're bringing those weights up along the front of your body, and then you bring them down to your waist, and then you're going up there again. And by staying in the upright position, you strengthen your shoulders, your neck muscles, muscles up and down the spine, and also the abs. So it's really a very, very efficient exercise for building the postural muscle strength that not only helps you to stay upright when running, but to stay upright in life, which is something that I think is a very good thing to do. And then finally, even though you will see a lot of articles on yoga and plyometrics and things like that, you need to be very careful with that, because I regularly, every week, hear of very serious injuries that occur in yoga class and plyometrics. So just be very gentle with those things if you do them. Stretching has never been shown in any studies to benefit long-distance runners in my search through these studies around the world. However, there are a lot of studies showing that those who stretch regularly have more injuries. The injuries last longer. They don't heal up. So anyway, you just need to be careful with what you're doing in the stretching area.
All right. Speaking of which. Okay. So, Jeff, Joseph Ficus is interested in what you have to recommend in regards to pacing for a half marathon when doing the Dopey Challenge. He plans on taking it easy for the 5K and the 10K and walking a lot during those races. I had the same problem when I was doing the Goofy, when I was training for it, trying to figure out what my plan of attack was going to be for the half as well. What do you recommend when doing the half during the Dopey?
Well, I have trained several thousand people now over the years who have done either the Goofy or the Dopey. And I did not do the Goofy during the first 6 to 8 years that I was coaching people to do the Goofy. And I felt guilty about that. So when the Dopey came up, I leapt right into it and decided that I just would do it 1 year and then it would be done. But that hadn't happened. I'm perfectly Dopey, and I actually love it. I love getting up early every morning. I love getting out there with people, getting the job done every day, moving on to the next day. My biggest challenge is I'm on my feet at the expo for 10 to 12 hours at a time. So that's an additional challenge, but hey, I embrace that too. The 5K and the 10K are usually not a problem for most of the people that I have coached through the Dopey. You can be more gentle in your run, walk, run, but usually you don't have to walk those two events. Although if you've had some challenges, you can mostly walk those two. The real key to both the Goofy and the Dopey is Saturday on the half marathon. And my recommendation is to walk as much of it as you can. So you want to really backpedal down in your run, walk, run strategy so that you're walking a whole lot more than you ever usually do in the half marathon. Again, the main mission on the Saturday is to get through the distance. The second main mission is to stay ahead of the balloon ladies. So as long as you find a strategy that can do that, you are in charge of your pacing. And what I suggest to as research to figure out what the run, walk, run strategy would be is on a Tuesday, do some race rehearsal segments at about 15:30 to 15:45 per mile if you think you're going to be challenged by the balloon ladies. And then try various run, walk, run strategies. The most popular in that area are run 10 seconds and walk 30, or run 7 seconds and walk 21 to 25 seconds. Those have really kept a lot of my clients away from staying ahead of the balloon ladies. So that's really worked quite well.
All right. Do you want to move on, Michael?
There are two questions left. I will ask the first one, and Michelle will finish us off with the last one. But this one comes from Jeanette Krause. And Jeff, she wants recommendations on mileage to just maintain fitness over the winter when you have no spring races planned. Specifically, what would you recommend for distances on the weekend runs, assuming we keep a 3-run-a-week schedule?
Well, Jeanette, that is really up to you. And the bottom line for most people in facing, inclement winter weather is to figure out how often you're going to be able to run. Now, if you're able to schedule runs in areas where you don't have a lot of frozen precipitation, then every 3 weeks you can do a long one if the long run is around 16 miles. So what a lot of people do is they'll build up to a 16 miler when the bad weather starts, and then if they have the ability to either go indoors or to take a trip to visit parents or whatever in better weather every 3 weeks, then they can do their long run there and keep that endurance up over the winter. But the most popular way is to do a long run every other week, and you determine what level of endurance you want to produce. And so maybe you feel that 5 miles is all you want to do, or 3 or 4 miles, then you can do that every other week. If you want longer endurance, you can do whatever that distance would be every other week, and you will maintain that. You only need to run long every 14 days if you are doing, as you say in your note, that you're doing 3 runs a week. And then the minimum on those other runs in between the long run is only 20 to 30 minutes. You can drop down to as low as 20 minutes. It's better to go 30 minutes, but when you have bad days or whatever, you can drop down to 20 minutes and stay in the game.
All right. So this is our last one, Jeff. Oh, my goodness. I think we could have gone on all night. So before we go on, I just want to reemphasize that, Jeff, you're pretty much implying that we should go to Walt Disney World every 3 weeks to make sure that we're in warm weather.
Well, sure. I mean, you almost always during the winter are going to get good running weather down Walt Disney World or Disneyland.
Yes, I like the suggestion. Okay, so the last one is by our good buddy Mickey Myler, Dr. Carl Friedrichs, and he wants to say, thank you so much to Jeff and for the podcast team for all you do. Together, you've really changed my life for the better. I have a question about avoiding calf injuries. This fall, I've been following Jeff's finish in the upright position training plan for the upcoming Walt Disney World Marathon, and I completed my scheduled 20-mile run 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, though, on the short run last week, I strained my calf. My physical therapist and I believe I'll be able to recover in time for the Disney Marathon, but I'm worried about future calf strains. Jeff, do you have any advice about how to help Carl with a future calf strain when he's already suffered one?
Absolutely, Carl. I've had numerous injuries in the calf and Achilles tendon. Of course, they're part of the same system there during my competitive years. And that really is at the core of the problem area. Calf muscles, if you have the right run, walk, run, are really not stressed dramatically. But if you are running more than you should for you on that day, or you dramatically increase the amount too soon, or you're running too fast, any one of those three things will stress the calf muscle. Another reason is having a stride that's too long or pushing too hard when going up hills. A short stride with feet low to the ground uses primarily the ankle, so the calf is really not put into a significant stress situation. Another reason for calf muscles is stretching. Stretching causes a lot of calf muscle injuries, and so I do not recommend stretching while you recover, and I do not recommend stretching before or after or during a run. Massage, though, is very productive in keeping you away from those calf injuries. And you can self-massage, you can use the stick, you can use a foam roller. The very best massage tool that we found is one I mentioned earlier in the podcast, and that is the BFF, which you will see on our website. And I will give Michelle a discount code for Mickey Milers to get one if you're interested in it.
Thank you.
It's amazing. It's a vibrating massage. It brings blood flow into the area. It invigorates the muscle. It warms it up before. If you've had a bad run in the calf or other muscle areas have tied up or have gotten exhausted, they're going to feel better after just 5 minutes or so on this thing. But massage in general really does help. We've just found that this vibration massage is the most invigorating and the most productive for bringing blood flow in the area. And as you know, Dr. Carl, blood flow determines the speed of healing. So I wish you the best in your healing. And if you have any other problems that you would like to find out more about, I have a book called Running Injuries that I wrote with just an outstanding podiatrist named Dr. Dave Hannaford, who has seen it all. And anyway, it's a great resource.
He's a
speaking of books. Can I say something?
Oh, I just want to say he's a geologist, yeah. Doctor.
Oh, okay,
not a doctor. That's okay. I'm sure he knows about blood flow, but
so he's a rock star.
Yeah, he's a rock star.
Absolutely. I'll be here all week. Try the veal, everybody.
Go ahead, Chris.
But yeah, so speaking of books, though, Jeff, I'm about a third of the way through your mental training for runners book, which Mike mentioned earlier, and you talked about a little bit earlier, and I'm just fascinated with the concept. I'm a late starter to running, and I'm a freelancer, and it actually took putting a deadline in my way to get me to really start getting motivated to run. Could you talk a little bit more about this book and what it's trying to do for people who maybe aren't motivated to run or looking for reasons to run or to stick in it when they're having problems? Because I think we all suffer that at certain times in our careers of running, and what this book will do for those people.
Well, most runners, when I get into a 5 to 10 minute conversation with them, will bring up the mental side as being the most challenging for them and being able to stay focused, to keep running regularly, or to achieve a goal. And it is. And it was my mission in writing that book to try to uncover why this is. And it was just a breakthrough book for me. I was able to, with the help of my wife, Barbara, who had been doing a lot of study in that area too, unlock sources that explained how the brain operated and how the use of the conscious brain and setting up cognitive strategies can keep you focused and keep you away from the monkey brain. But the strategies are ones that I have used for over 50 years. I just didn't know why they work. So it explains why they work and then how you can actually make them more, the strategies more effective and tailor them to the specific areas that you need help in. It also gets into the amazing benefits of running. Why do we do this sort of thing? The brain scanning devices that were developed 20 years ago show very clearly that running turns on the brain circuits for a better attitude, for more vitality, and for personal empowerment better than any activity in life. And once people get that combination of benefits, they simply don't want to give it up. The other really exciting area for those of us who are not as young as we used to be is that running turns on circuits for better memory, for better decision making, for quicker decision making, and here's the big one, for new growth of brain cells at any age. And it's because of the brain hormones that were originally recruited millions of years ago by our ancient ancestors when they ran. And we get those same things happening today. It's really good stuff. And I really get into the details. And a lot. One of the most gratifying things that I hear are people that buy the book to try to get through running motivational problems and then apply those methods in the book to other areas of life to overcome significant problems, go on and do amazing things. It's really just a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I mean, I'm a writer and a cartoonist, so I use my runs to kind of help with the thought process, and it actually has upped my creativity from running. And I do some mindfulness meditation as well, so I think that helps. So it's kind of amazing. I missed out on this for like 20 years of not running. So thank you for writing the book, and hopefully we'll train some more minds.
Well, just a little sidebar on that. When you run, you have a window of opportunity during the first few minutes to enhance the activity in your human brain, because running right at the beginning will turn on your frontal lobe, the human brain. And one of the great benefits of that is that then in the human brain, on the left side is the logical side, but on the right side is the creative side. And so you are turning both of them on at the same time. And I've heard from countless artists of various types who have found that running is the very best way to get them set up to do whatever their art is.
Mm. Well, it's worked for me, so thanks.
Jeff's book, Mental Training for Runners and How to Stay Motivated, is one of 21 books that Jeff Galloway has given us as a gift for all his wisdom. And you can find these books on his website, which is www.jeffgalloway.com. And if you go to that site, you'll be able to order the books, and you'll also be able to find out more about the JG 13.1 half marathon weekend that he and Barbara will be hosting in Atlanta this coming December. And we want to thank Jeff for giving us an hour of his very valuable time. As always, he's been very gracious with his time. And Jeff, we thank you very much, and we're looking forward to seeing you in January.
Well, the same is true with me, so I know you will come by the booth, and I look forward to that. We've got to get our pictures together. I did fail to mention one significant part of our Jeff Galloway, Barb Galloway weekend. Two things, actually. We have a third medal this year, the double G medal.
And
it's an outstanding medal. I mean, it really is. And the other thing is we have a virtual version. If you cannot come, we have a fantastic medal for the 13.1 and the 5K, Barb's 5K. And you can win those by doing another run of those distances. So anyway, we want everybody to be part of our event. So I hope you can.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I have to say that out of all the guests that we invite onto the show, you honestly write back within a half an hour every single time I write to you and say, I may have a busy schedule, but let's do it. And we really, really appreciate how busy you are. I can't even keep up with my emails, and you write 22 books. So I don't know how you do it, but we really, really appreciate it, and our listeners appreciate it too.
Well, I love what you do, and I hear from your listeners wherever I go. You guys do a great job. You rock.
Oh, thank you.
So for Jeff Galloway and for Chris Aliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road, in the parks, and maybe in Walt Disney World in January.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.